The Coach is brought to you by Mass General Hospital Cancer Center, Everyday Amazing, by the Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing exclusively in men's sexual health. McFarland Energy, the area's premier heating oil provider. Needham Bank, can we be your bank? And by your Boston area Mercedes-Benz. Before we get to the game, apparently you have traded a second-round draft pick in the 2020 draft for Mohamed Sanu. What does he do right now for your team?
I think we're working through that, but he's, we'll see. We'll put him in and see how it goes. But, you know, he's a talented player. He's got a lot of experience. He's, done different things, so we'll see how it all fits for us.
Were you talking to different teams about different receivers? Obviously a need in that area?
Yeah, Nick does most of that, so I'm not sure who all he talked to or who he talked. I talk to him when things get, I would say, relevant. There's a lot of talk. That's just part of football.
I know we were talking about this a few weeks ago about trades, and you said a lot of times it takes until you get right to that point. We're not to that point yet, and you've made a deal. 49ers have made a deal. Do you sense there's a sense of urgency out there with teams? They look at some teams that might be out of it right now. They see players might be available, and they're trying to pounce right now before somebody else does the same thing.
Yeah, well, I think that's the way it always is. You just don't know who or how many or which teams or whatever. That's all that changes. But I think every year you go through a certain period of time, a month, month and a half in the season, and, you see some movement take place. And so sometimes we're involved in it, sometimes we're not. But, we've seen plenty of moves. Ramsey last week and some other guys, last year it was, the receiver going down to Dallas and so forth. So I think every year is its own year. What player situations are and their contracts and where the teams are and what other people are willing to do, I don't know. So, but that's really Nick and his staff handle most of that in terms of the actual communications and everything. I'm just, trying to coach football team.
So you don't think it's more happens. There's more trades now than there were in the past, because it feels like it is, I guess, or at least guys trying to work their way out of.
Yeah, I don't know. I think certainly you could go back and track them and see how many there were in other years. I mean, that'd be easy enough to do. I don't know, but there's always conversations, and whether they materialize or not, that's that varies from year to year. We were involved in the Tlaib trade. I mean, that was done literally. To the very last seconds before the trade deadline. So you never know.
No, I'm just curious, the timing of the trade deadline. I know in baseball, I always talk about when to have it. Could it be more beneficial if they waited a few more weeks, say after, week 10, or is that too far into it?
Yeah, I don't know, Lou. That's, that's a league rule. I don't have anything to do with that.
He could change some rules.
I can't change anything.
Loopholes.
Might have last
you might,
night.
You might have changed the rule last night with that loophole rule with the – Not declining all those penalties.
Yeah. Well, those, again, we don't make any of those. They are what they are. So, but yeah, that one may get changed, and I certainly would be in favor of it. But that's not what it is now. So, maybe it'll be like the college rule, which is, the way the college rule is good. I like the way the colleges have it. I think it's a good rule where the referee has discretion. But that's not the way it is in the NFL right now. So we'll see.
Michael Bennett was suspended.
He didn't play in the game last night.
No, he didn't. Is he reinstated now? Is he back in the building?
Well, we didn't practice today. We didn't do anything today, so we just got back from the game.
Will he be tomorrow, though, when the guys show up?
Expect him to.
Okay. What sense do you have of him, having a bigger role moving forward? Is that something that that is possible for him?
Yeah. Right now, we just got through the Jets game, and we'll get on to Cleveland and see how it all comes together. Yeah, I don't know.
So your team right now is 7-0, and I can't remember saying this about any of your teams, to where I actually think I look more forward to the other team having the ball because of what your defense is doing to them. That is actually entertaining for me, watching another offense try to go up against your defense. You're a defensive guy. You must really be loving what you're seeing from this defense.
Look, we have a good record, but we'll see. We got a long way to go. 7 wins, is it really enough to get anything in the National Football League? It's going to take more than that. So, let's keep grinding out week by week and see how it goes. But we have a lot of good players, a lot of good defensive players. They play well together. They prepare well. So hopefully we'll be able to play well this week against Cleveland. That'll be a big challenge. This is a very explosive team.
You've done this before. You've taken players out of position where there's a need somewhere else. A Lyndon Roberts goal line last night, fullback. Eric Tomlinson, who just got here recently, played a lot last night, and he played some of that fullback role. Are you looking to find somebody at that role, or do you sense that maybe you can jury-rig with a few different guys out of position that can play at that role?
Yeah, well, we'll have to – again, that depends a little bit from week-to-week game plan and so forth, what we decide to do there. So, yeah, we'll just take it week-to-week.
So in the second quarter, I think it was you brought the whole – you took a knee over by the defensive side. And I don't know what you were saying, but obviously, you know, they were obviously all paying attention. Why did you feel like you needed to bring them together and talk to them? Like, what was going on that you saw that you needed to have a team meeting right there on the sideline?
I don't know. It's called coaching, Christian.
Well, I know it's called coaching, but you don't do
it. Sideline, you coach the players.
I know, but you don't do that all the time, right? I mean, I know you do it, but I think when that one looked like you were – I'm just curious of what you said to them at that point in time.
Yeah, I don't know. It's coaching. When we don't have the ball, when we have the ball offensively, the defense is on the sideline, that's when you coach the players.
So, was there something that you saw in that last series that needed to
be – something you see every series. We coach them after every series. Yeah, we don't just stand over there and drink Gatorade. Players come off. We, get the tablets or the – I don't use the tablets. I use the pictures. But, we use the pictures. We talk to them about the plays that happen. We talk to them about what's going to happen in the next series, what we want to call, what we're thinking about running, and sometimes it's together as a group, sometimes it's the coaches individually. We eat together as a coaching staff and talk about what we need to do, and then the individual coaches go and talk to their groups and so forth. So yeah, that's what we do. If we don't have the ball, if we're not out there on the field, then we're coaching on the sidelines.
Three penalties have anything to do with it in that series? Because up until that point, they were playing clean, and then you had three penalties there. That have anything to do with the conversation?
Honestly, Glenn, I don't really remember what the conversation was. I mean, you're coaching during the game. Something comes up, and you coach it, and you move on to something else. And so I don't even know.
So you use the old-fashioned way in writing stuff down in the pictures. You don't use the Surface there, the Microsoft Surface. Do you get any heat from the league about that? And is it because you smashed it last year and they won't give you another one? Is that what the problem is?
No. There are tablets there. No, I think the pictures are better. I think they work better. I can write on them. I can organize them. I can tear off the ones that I want to keep and put the other ones in a pile. It works better and more efficiently for me. And I like the fact that they're consistent. So, but other
good
people have other
I'm
preferences. So there's more ways to do it. And what works for somebody else, great. We have other people on our staff that prefer other ways, so that's fine too.
So I know you love history of the NFL. I'm not so sure if you're aware of all these the
Jesus.
What do you mean? The records that are out there in the NFL, but the oldest quarterback to receiver touchdown combo is actually Vinny Testaverde to one Christian Fourier. The oldest. I don't know if you're aware it or not.
That was in a Tennessee game, right?
Oh man, I don't even know.
Vinny to Christian.
Just say yes.
I think it was Green Bay. Actually, I don't know.
But we're a little bit wary.
All I know is I own it.
If now that you brought back Ben Watson, if Tom throws one to Ben, he actually takes that record. And that record is gone right now. So we're a little bit – it's stressful watching you guys in the red zone because I'm thinking with every play that record could end. And I know it kind of would hurt him.
How much do we have to pay you or Josh to get it back?
I'd say you should run
it. Yeah, we almost got one.
Yes, 33-yard line.
Down there, yeah, a couple years.
So he was sweating bullets over here.
We talked to Ben about it, and Ben said he knew about it. He was aware of it, but he had no clue that I actually was part of it. So so now I think everyone's kind of...
Well, I think that was Vinny's 20th straight year that he completed a touchdown pass.
Yeah, it was something crazy. Yeah. He was old. He was older than Tom.
I think it might have been a Tennessee game, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't remember.
So, yeah,
probably know that.
Yeah.
So they're politicking for you to call it.
We're putting a pool together when it's going to happen. So if we can get a tip, maybe, you get in a red zone, play action to Ben.
Hey, just any touchdowns, we'll take it. That'd be great. I don't care who catches it. If Ben catches it, that'd be great.
Yeah, probably let Izzo catch it.
That'd be great, too.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about the offensive line. Tom got great protection in the first half. Second half seemed to break down a little bit. You tell me, were you scheming a little bit more early on in that game with that offensive line? Because that's been an issue a little bit in the last couple of weeks. Didn't seem to be an issue in the first half at all last night.
Yeah, well, look, they have some good defensive players. They have a lot of good defensive players. And, you know, Coach Williams is an aggressive coach. You know, we had some good plays, got the ball out on time. You know, in the second half, there were a couple of breakdowns. But, again, you're not going to play the Jets and, you know, every play is going to be an 80-yard touchdown. I mean, that's just unrealistic. So, you know, we blocked them at some times better than others. But, you know, enough to move the ball and score points and win a division game on the road. So, is there room for improvement? Yeah, of course.
So, a lot of fullbacks. Atlanta Roberts got a shot. Ferentz got one. Thomason, Ben, everybody was back there.
Be hard for them to key on that position, yeah. Wouldn't it?
How did Atlanta Roberts get – how did his name get thrown out there? Was it just – I don't know, did he show an affection for contact or what? How do you pick him?
I mean, fullback, middle linebackers.
Yeah.
Pretty much the same position, just on opposite sides of the ball. So, but – yeah, you know, we'll see how it goes. You know, Atlanta played it in high school, and you know, we had a little bit extra time this week with the, you know, the Thursday game. So looked at a couple things there. So we'll see how it goes. Try to do what we think's best. If we need a tough yard, pick up a tough yard going forward.
Yeah, speaking of you know, touchdown passes, now I mean, you kind of give him a couple, you know, blocking opportunities. And next thing you know, hey, coach, can I run to the flat?
Yeah, he's already talked to us about that.
Yeah, so. Sure.
Well, the handoff to the fullback, yeah. Right? The goal line. You got to get a touchdown.
Oh, yeah, that's coming.
You know, one thing I was wondering was you guys had that safety, and they kick off, and Edelman was back there. I think it's the first one, the punt, whatever, kickoff, whatever, that he's done all year long. Gunner's been there the whole time. Is it just a personnel, like, on safety punts, or what? You know, why Edelman, not Gunner?
Yeah, it was a combination of things, Lou. So, but for that particular play, yeah, it was Julian back there, and you know, Gunner was in the shorter spot. But you know, we had to shuffle some personnel around because of the inactives and so forth. So, Julian up back there, but we have multiple guys that can do that. But that's just the way it turned out for that game, in that particular situation. Yeah, we had a 26-point lead at that time, and. They kicked it deep, but I'd say it's, you know, not maybe not a certainty that the ball was going to be kicked deep. So, you know, he had to cover other areas of the field as well.
So, Bill, we've learned an awful lot today on what happens on these national NFL broadcasts with players being mic'd up. And obviously Sam Darnold got caught on the mic, and it was unfortunate because, you know, you don't want something like that to get out on, especially a young 22-year-old player. When the league comes to you, do they come to you and say, we want to mic up a specific player? Can you say no? You don't want that player to be mic'd up. Is there a certain protocol that goes with that? Because you can get burned by it.
Look, there are rules in place for the media, and that's all the different types of media, whether it's in-game, post-game, pre-game, et cetera, and so that's some of that's with players, some of that's with coaches. Some of them are mandatory, some of them aren't, and some of them are at the team's discretion when a network or a media outlet makes a request. So it's again, this isn't really my field, but there are some options on that at times, and there's other things that aren't optional that are required to do, and so we do them. So. That's really the way it works. You'd have to talk to somebody, you know, Stacy or somebody that has a lot more advanced knowledge of that than I do.
But as a coach, do you feel safe having your quarterback mic'd up for the entire game?
We've had players mic'd before, yes.
Has Tom been? Because I know Edelman's done it. I know other players have done it. Has Tom done it?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Because I know for the NFL films, they use the big boom mic a lot, and that's for historical purposes, and I get that and understand that.
Right, that's different. That's different. Although it's a lot of the same issues, and they do that on the sideline too. Yeah, they lean over the sideline and, you know, put the mic right in the middle of a huddle or even run out on the field and do it, you know, with the cameraman and so forth after scores and when there's timeout and that type of thing. So, but again, all that's, you know, there are rules and policies in place for that. So whatever they are, they are. If we have to comply with them, we do. And if they're optional, then I would say some we do and some we don't. That would be discretionary, depend on the situation and, you know, what we felt comfortable with.
So a quick scouting report on the Browns. Quick turnaround. Just offensively, I mean, this could be, I guess, maybe the most talented group of weapons you face so far this year. Maybe not the most productive, maybe the most talented. I just think
they've been pretty productive, Christian. I'd say that's, you know, look, over the last 2 years, the only team that's had more big plays than these guys have is, you know, Kansas City and the Rams.
And then they add Odell Beckham Jr., right?
Yeah, well, I'm saying over the last 2 years, so last year without him and this year with him. But when you look at the 18 and 19 seasons, that's a lot of games. You know, other than Kansas City and the Rams, depending on what, you know, where you want to differentiate, whether it's 10-yard gains, 20-yard gains, you know, 40-yard play, you know, wherever you want to look at it. But they're somewhere in the top three with those teams, so that's pretty – that's a lot of juice, a lot of firepower. It's a lot of big plays.
Yeah, you mentioned explosiveness, right, earlier when we talked about it with those guys. Just, I guess you got to be real careful and real disciplined this week with just communication and everything, because one misstep could turn a little hitch into a, you know, a 60-yard touchdown.
Yeah, well, we saw that in the Cleveland game against the Jets in the second game of the year, where they Cleveland was on about their own, I don't know, 8 or 9 yard line. They ran RPO, hit Beckham, you know, for about a 10-yard gain. Caught the ball on about 20-yard line. Split the defense. It's a 90-yard touchdown. So that can easily happen against this team. It could be a 10-yard pass that goes for 90. Same thing with Landry against who was that? I think Baltimore. They hit him on a little 5-yard under route, and you know, broke a couple of tackles, and should have been a 5-10-yard gain, and it's 65. So. They can turn those plays into big ones in a hurry. Chubb, same thing. You know, Chubb took a toss play against somebody, I forget who it was, 85 yards. So, you know, he hit a little crease and just, you know, outran the rest of the defense. So, it's a very, very explosive team. You know, Callaway's an explosive player. Obviously, Mayfield can make a lot of throws and can extend plays with his legs.
Is that it with him? The most dangerous thing with him?
Well, no, he's an accurate thrower, yeah. But he, you know, he can get out there and, you know, extend plays and move in the pocket. He's an accurate thrower on the run, so and certainly the receivers know how to get open, catch the ball, and run with it when they get it. So, you know, keeping the ball out of their hands is one thing, but getting them on the ground when they have it that's another problem. So they're very explosive, and they're a good kick return team, and obviously with you know, Garrett, they can rush the passer and strip sack and intercept balls and tip them and everything else. So, you know, that's a problem too. So they're very explosive. They can score in a hurry, particularly on offense. And Coach Kitchens is very aggressive. Yeah. They like to go for it on fourth down. And, you know, they run a lot of, you know, receiver passes, reverse plays, things like that that, you know, challenge you defensively as well. So
Beckham can throw it too.
He sure can. Yeah, he can throw it really well.
Yeah. Okay, so that is we're going to go to our Drive of the Week, and the Drive of the Week is brought to you by your Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers and the Mercedes-Benz Certified Pre-Owned event going on now through October 31st.
Well, that's an easy one. This is the easiest one we've had.
I know.
Jeez, Christian.
Yeah, I know. I teed it up for you.
Give me a layup, yeah.
Yeah.
Almost a dunk.
That was impressive, that first drive.
It was. You know, converting to third downs and whatever it was, 9 minutes off the clock.
17 plays, 9 minutes.
Yeah.
8:40-something, yeah.
Yeah, it was, you know, the third down conversions up to Edelman, and then the toss play, which is a third down conversion, but also a touchdown to Sony, you know. So those were, that was a great drive, you know, to start the division game on the road Monday night and just, you know, keep the ball for over half of the first quarter and come out of there with a 7-0 lead. And we were able to get a turnover in the next series, so it was a great start to the game. That was a tremendous drive.
Yeah.
Did you get any sleep? Because I heard you were in here bright and early, still wearing the same suit you had after the game last night.
Glenn, you got the scouts out, don't you?
Got
scouting report.
Sleeps
in the car.
I got moles working in the hallway.
Is that
here,
Mikey Bob? Reese in the trash can?
Yeah.
We're gonna have to look at our security around here
exactly.
A little bit. You know, you're around every corner.
Did you sleep at all?
Yeah, it was a short night. I mean, we got back here at 4 in the morning.
I was going to say, wow. Night. But I heard you were already in the film room and already breaking stuff down for Cleveland.
Yeah, it's football season. Okay.
I mean, it's called coaching, Glenn.
I get it. Oh, so he slaps
me. Hold on, let me drop the mic. Yeah. Goodbye.
The coach also brought to you by Putnam Proud Partners, committed to a proud game plan on and off the field. 7-0, onward to next Sunday late game, 4 o'clock game against Cleveland. Good luck in that one. We'll see you here Monday.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Lynn, Christian, Luke. Thank you.
Bill Belichick right here on OMF and Patriots Monday.